2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for being with us. It's another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. It's a Tuesday. Glad to have you here with us. Normally, we'd have Devin Cafusi from the University of Utah and the Utes. Thanks to some differential of scheduling this week because of the Aaron Lowe Memorial and because of they've shifted a lot during this week. So we're going to have Devin on tomorrow night to break down a little bit of that University of Utah Utes football win over USC, and then looking forward to ASU for this weekend. In the meantime, Scott Mitchell, my partner to the right here. What's going on, buddy? Everything good?
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to be here. Lovely. It's Tuesday, right?
It is a Tuesday, right? Yes.
Yeah, love Tuesday. I actually don't really like Tuesday. There's not a lot of...
Well, there's no Tuesday night football. Yeah. Although there is some sort of a battle in college football right now between, I think it's Louisiana and Appalachian State. Does that count? It's a Tuesday night game. So you've got baseball playoffs, though. We've got all sorts of things to get to. But we're going to start off, as we always do, with our 705 cut. Let's start right there.
The cut at 705. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
And the cut brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer. Scott, the Seattle Kraken. I wanted to bring this up before we
started. Just wanted to say that name, didn't you?
I like it because, look, Seattle's got an NHL team. It's been a long time in the waiting. They knew they were getting a franchise. And took a while to be able to announce that, and then took a while to get the actual team itself. And now they're starting up tonight on ESPN, and ESPN's picking up hockey again. So we've got a lot to get to, and hockey is not the name of this game. This is going to be us talking a little bit of college football. Here locally, I think that we've already had an up-and-down season, right? We've already looked at this season of local college football, and we're going to dole out some we do this with MVPs all the time. But fake awards for real people. That's what we're going to do. This is not MVPs, but it's kind of mid-season awards. Things that have so far been an amazing surprise, or guys who have been just a really, really breath, or just have lived up to the hype, or have been a breath of fresh air. Whatever you want to make it. In this case, Scott, let's start off first with some of the dominant storylines. Number one, first and foremost, I think for a lot of folks, as it pertains to the college football. Please tell me if I'm just overdoing it as a guy who may look at things through blue-colored glasses. But the Big 12 expansion and then BYU being added to that, is that the
rose-colored?
I'm saying that they're blue for me, though.
Oh.
I'm saying,
oh, you're talking
correct
about
me if I'm if, oh, if they're okay. Going to be blue.
Okay.
Or too blue for you. So the Big 12 expansion and BYU added to that list and being put into that, is that, can we look at that and say that's the biggest college football story out of the state this year so far? Halfway through the year, is that the biggest one so far?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, don't even worry about your blue glasses on that one. No.
Okay. I wanted to get your thoughts on it first.
I have never, ever, 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 ever liked independence. It's like fingernails on a chalkboard to me. I can't stand it. I hate it for BYU. I don't think it's good. And the fact that, this expansion's happened, really the fact that, but, you know, part of why it happened was this alliance, I think, that that happened with these other three conferences saying, wait a minute, we got to have everything together.
Texas and Oklahoma leaving, yes, and then leaving. That forces everybody else to start thinking about
it. And I think
everything.
By them putting a pause gave expansion an opportunity. And, of course, BYU. I think BYU is probably on the very top end of the wish list for the Big 12 Conference. And I'm elated for people who love football in the state of Utah. This is a Christmas gift that came way, way early. Definitely the biggest story of the year.
Utah is 3-2 now on the season.
Doesn't it feel like the fortunes of these two football programs kind of has shifted maybe just a little bit?
I think obviously this last weekend with a loss from BYU, people get deflated, and probably unnecessarily so. Like they look at it like glass half empty goes immediately for, I think, a lot of BYU fans who saw that this weekend.
Well, I think part of it, though, is when you're in the state that BYU's in, like, you have to be perfect or you're just going to get excluded.
Right.
I mean,
that's the independence thing, right?
And that's a tough thing to be a part of.
But see, with Utah, and then add to it the fact that BYU beat Utah for the first time in forever. So that was a major storyline on top of it. It was all happening all at the same time. But then
that feels like it happened last season.
It just feels like a long time ago. But this is what we're saying. Like, BYU is now 5-1. They're six games into their season, Scott.
Wow.
And we said this was going to happen. It was going to be, I mean, ASU comes in, they're 5-1. The Utes are 3-2. They're five games into their season already. And so, yeah, but things feel very much different for this Utah team. The dominant storyline for Utah, is it the passing of Aaron Lowe and what those last 2 weeks have done walking up to that win against USC? What's that storyline that came out of Utah? Because honestly, it was going to be before last weekend, it was probably going to be mostly a year of, I don't know what this team is, and boy, this might be a rebuilding year for Kyle Whittingham.
I think the dominant story is clearly dealing with a lot of off-field tragedy, really. I mean, and
movement, too. You think about Charlie Brewer. First of all, Charlie Brewer left. It also felt like a year ago, right?
Yeah,
like,
it really
did.
It was like a long time ago already. I think the storyline maybe will probably – to this point, yes, that's the biggest storyline, I think, is the switch. It's the switch from Charlie Brewer to Cam Rising, but it's also how this team has really handled and will handle the off-field tragedies that they've gone through. I mean, that's just really hard. You could sense in the game that it was galvanizing to this team at USC. You could sense that it was on their mind. You could sense that they really wanted to play well and that they had something really, really significant to kind of fight for.
Well, let's do this then, real quick. Let's dole out some team MVPs here. We'll start at Utah State, where it's a pretty easy one. Devin Tompkins leads the Mountain West in yards and yards per game as that wideout. He's been a breath of fresh air for that offense for Utah State. Let's go to Utah, though. I'm going to make you kind of pick one here.
The best player?
Team MVP halfway through the season.
That's not even – close.
What is it?
It's Devin Lloyd.
Okay.
Devin Lloyd has just been a beast.
The Pac-12 in tackles for loss.
And he has been a difference maker. I think he's a guy that's really kind of kept things together with a young football team. He's a captain. He's
NFL bound.
Yeah, but always seems to be around the football. And you know, he's just had a couple of just incredible interceptions this year. He played in a different position after this last week. They changed up the front, and so he was actually a defensive end, which he played well. And so, you know, that's not even close.
I think it's a pretty easy one on the BYU side of things, too.
Might be one of the better players in the Pac-12.
Well, leads the Pac-12 in tackles for loss. Mika Tafua leads the conference in sacks, though. Yeah. How about that? I mean, you're going to have these first-team Pac-12 guys. I mean, you expected it out of Devin Lloyd.
But early on, you get these run-heavy teams, and now starting to play teams that throw the ball a little bit, you got more opportunities.
Easy one for BYU, Tyler Allgeier, 637 yards through those first six games. He's well on his way to another 1,000-yard season, and he's been that spark plug for BYU. Let's take the break here. We'll come back. We got more to go on the program. I've got a Scott's crystal ball. We've already looked at what the halfway point through the college football season looked like. Give us some predictions next year as Scott sees the future right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Stay with us. Hey, guys, Alex.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.